For me, the solution has been to completely prepare everything in advance and then to have to load it up, right? Because we just cannot rely. I mean, sometimes you have everything working and then the electricity goes off. So, I mean, it's that bad, right? And so you just have to figure out what your context is and what the solutions are for that.
Nima, may I add to that very quickly? I think I can't stress enough what Rob said. Having a backup plan is prudent, right? Because we can almost expect, as you mentioned, Nima, that there will be some quirky, hopefully mild, hiccups and hangups as we go along. But I think even communicating that we expect as much to students will go a long way in quelling anxiety as we get going, especially these first couple of weeks when we return on the 6th. Virtually, remotely. I think even communicating that and leading with, hey, if something goes wrong, we'll handle it. I think even putting that out there for students can go a long way in mitigating their anxiety and establishing a bit of a more comfortable environment in which everybody can adjust together to engaging remotely.
So I have a question. Would it help if Charlie and I put some language together for syllabi, or if CTI put some language together, which just sort of lays out these things, the new mode of interaction in the time of coronavirus? I guess my question is to the faculty on the call.
If I may, too, Nima, I'm happy to post in the chat. There is a great professor out of his institution is escaping me, but the Chronicle actually just wrote an article summarizing what I think is a really beautiful job of articulating some
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
affirmations and expectations. A lot of folks have been, kind of circulating this and giving praise on Twitter, and the Chronicle picked it up. So I'm happy if you just give me a moment. I'm happy to provide that link in the chat for everybody, and you can take that and modify it, take what you like, use it
Wonderful.
to inform some of the messaging that you have for students.
That would be great, Kathleen. Thank you.
Yep.
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Well, then I'll take the opportunity, if I can, to just emphasize what Nima was saying. Connectivity issues aside, I think there's some real strengths to thinking about presenting, especially lecture content, asynchronously. It allows you a lot much more control to record your lectures in advance, share your material, and then use that class session, scheduled class time, for other kinds of engagement with students. That there's a reason why that's usually the practice in courses that are designed to be online educational experiences. It's it sort of mirrors what we talk about as flipped classrooms. And I think it's a great idea, and CTI can help you with getting started with that if that's something you're interested in.
Is there anyone on from the humanities who would like to talk about things that maybe are peculiar to their area of instruction? Okay. Anything else?
I wanted to ask a question very quickly, which is, I just want to confirm the expectation is that we continue, even if we're doing asynchronous teaching, uploading, PowerPoints of voiceover or whatever, the expectation is that we continue to have the class meet virtually online during its regular days and times. I'm just trying to get a sense, because I have tried to work out with my students, depending on where they are around the world, different kinds of office hours. But now I'm trying to figure out what's the relationship between my asynchronous material, the discussions that we put together, and the time of my class that may not work for some students around the world. So I know this must have shown up in an email somewhere, and I apologize, but I'm just trying to get clarification.
Lisa?
So we are encouraging faculty to maintain their regular scheduled meeting time, and then to but obviously it'll be necessary to provide the access to those materials for students who can't make that time. But we don't want to. I know it sounds like I'm not answering your question, but I'm partially thinking it through as I talk in that. You asked about a very specific combination, but we don't, so I'll make a few points. One, we don't want faculty to change the time of their course because that could introduce conflicts. Faculty are going to probably experiment with different things throughout the semester. And sometimes it might be that they are uploading an asynchronous, right, upload of the lecture and then using the class time for discussion, but that might not be what they always choose to do. The only thing that we're cautioning is that, you know, there has to be something that you're posting online that makes the material accessible to students who can't make it in the regularly scheduled time, whether that's a recording of the lecture, which may or may not be possible for the faculty member, may or may not be possible for the student to be able to actually, you know, watch, depending on bandwidth. It might just be uploading the materials or slides or something like that. Assuming you were to use your scheduled class time for some engagement with students, it's a virtual session like this, then what we would like to recommend is that faculty provide an alternate time. Let's say you do 2 hours of office hours right now, that you split up when you do that, so that again, students who are in different time zones can access, and you might have another kind of follow-up discussion at a different time, right, for those students. We're really concerned about people who are not in our time zone not being able to participate as fully in the classes. Back to your question, you know, another thing we're concerned about is faculty just kind of uploading all of their slides or their lectures and then kind of being like, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm done for the semester, which is definitely not going to be the case. As things unfold, we need to really maintain close contact with our students. We're also required to, through various accrediting agencies in the Department of Education, to maintain substantive contact is the terminology they're using, using multiple media with all the contingencies that we've talked about so far. So I know we're asking so much of faculty. It's a huge adjustment. To be totally honest, I think part of it, we're going to do our best to set some guidelines now, and then we're going to have to adapt and flex depending on how it unfolds, depending on the size of the class, who's in it, where they are, you know, the challenges they're experiencing, not just with access to online, but in their learning environment, not having any privacy, having young siblings on both the faculty, I think, and student side. You can hear all the noise in the background here at home right now. So we'll have to be flexible as we go and try to be as, you know, human as we can. I don't know, does that answer?
Yes, that's super, super helpful. Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
What was the official term of that contact that you mentioned?
Substantive.
Contact.
And so, I would recommend the, you've probably heard this multiple times, but the university COVID-19 website has FAQs that we're trying to, update as often as we can, with lots of resources, guidelines specifically about things like this. So, and there's wording up there also related to substantive contact.
Does it give the number of hours, Lisa? I can't remember right now.
Yeah, so, you know, we've tried to provide as much clarity as we can. One rule of thumb to remember is that, you know, our credit hours, the credit hours associated with our courses are based on number of contact hours, or some guidelines anyway about contact hours, with one credit hour essentially equating to 45 hours across the course of the semester. 15 of in-person in the classroom and 30 outside of the classroom.
Right.
That's gonna be distributed in different ways, right? It could be watching the lectures. It could be corresponding by email. It could be these group chats. So there are gonna be many different ways. It also includes homework and reading and quizzes. So all, and if your question was, is there a, are there guidelines about the number of minutes of substantive contact that you need to maintain with students? My sense of it is it's not so easy to give such clear guidelines, except to say you must maintain contact with your students through multiple media throughout the rest of the semester.
But I do think, you know, reminding people of that the one credit class of 40 hours totally in class and outside through the length of the semester, therefore 3 and 4 credit classes, how much that would multiply, is one useful sort of mechanism by which one can start to think about contact hours. Of course, you have to, as Lisa pointed out, and as the FAQ points out, think of all the many ways in which you're engaging with students. But it's useful to remember that in terms of sort of a total, you know, of how much time you want to be connected with your students. Or at least I find it very useful when I offer stuff.
Any other topic or concern you'd like to bring up?
Charlie, have we talked about the SU on this phone call? I had to miss the first 15 minutes.
Indirectly, actually tomorrow that's the theme, but I have the feeling that every one of our sessions this week will be fairly general, but do you have a particular SU-related question?
I'm not sure I've formulated the question yet, but to stroll down memory lane, I am so old that I was an undergraduate during the very severe student protests over the Vietnam War. And my university was closed right in the middle of the spring semester. And they just across the board said, okay, everybody is SU. But then they gave us the option when the next regular semester started, that if we wanted to sit for a special final exam, then we had the option of converting our SU grade to a letter grade. I have no idea if that's useful or not. It's just a very powerful memory that I have.
I've seen, that's an example of it's not all or nothing kind of thing. I'm not sure. I read the MIT thing where I think they were requiring SU, and maybe it's not them that's doing this, but something that your letter grade is in the system somewhere that you can call out if that's your choice when it's all over. In other words, you don't have to make up your choose right now, SU or letter. You can, the system will let you make that decision at the end. That's another variant there. So it's sort of what you're saying a little bit. So, but Lisa, I mean, you were in the middle of the SU discussions. Is there anything you'd like to share about the philosophy behind our particular approach?
There's still lots of ongoing conversations about it. And, you know, MIT, I think, is in a unusual position in many ways compared to other institutions. Just so you know, I think all universities are engaging in this conversation right now with each other and internally. Our stance is to provide students with the choice. There are many different ways of doing this. It's mandatory all SU. It's a choice, and to provide that choice in any class that an undergraduate is taking. But the emphasis here is that the student gets to choose whether they want a letter grade or SU. And we don't make that decision at the class level, the program level, or the university level. Some places are doing a system or thinking about a system where you might opt in or out. So it's either mandatory SU or pass fail, and then students get to opt out of that. But with each one of these, there are pros and cons related to equity, related to but how will people interpret it, and you know what's really fair and what's not. And so right now, our policy is students get to choose in any class. This includes classes where this option was not previously available. And that a grade of an S counts towards fulfilling major, minor, and academic good standing requirements.
Thank you, that's helpful. I like the idea of students getting to choose. I mean, I think that's an important feature.
from what I should just clarify with in response to something that Charlie said, that the option of being able to choose later after receiving the grade is not something that it's not something that we are talking about offering. I also don't, I'm not sure we can even do it with our systems. So I would not, you know, spread that conversation around and get people thinking that that might be something that we might be able to do or would consider doing.
And just getting back to the my harebrained ideal or a thought a while ago, you know, again, if I'm reading your transcript, it's the grades after this semester that I'm really going to look at your, that will say an awful lot, I kind of think. I don't know how to phrase that correctly, but I'm just mentioning that as another reason why one wants to be uphold integrity during this semester. It's going to determine how you fare after this is all over. Any other comments or whatever? Okay, nothing says we have to go the full 60 minutes. We have other topics arranged for this week. We've talked, tomorrow actually is SU. We've done a lot of this. So anyway, we're gonna be here this week each day and then assess how we go forward in next week and so on. And audios will be uploaded to that particular webpage very soon after this meeting. And please forward questions that you think of after we all hang up here, should they come up. Any other, Nima, you want to say anything or?
No, nothing. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, yes.
Thank you, Lisa, Rob, and Kathleen as well.
Yep, thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
Thanks, boss.